Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of knows what happened at the end of last year with communication and stuff. I don't think we have too much different stuff going in. I just think you see us flying around a lot more so just because of the communication from the back end to us, to the D-line. Everyone's just comfortable in their role and their position and just flying around.
That's Steelers' second-year inside linebacker, Peyton Wilson, talking about the communication issues that we all saw with our two eyes plaguing the Steelers at the end of last year. Their communication was a disaster. Now you've got a whole bunch of new guys, and Peyton Wilson is saying that the communication in the week one of training camp better than it was last season. I think that's a big statement from a guy who figures to be a massive factor in the defense this year. And we will get to that in a minute, but I feel like I owe the fine makers of the movie Spanglish an apology. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. A texter writes in, Adam, you are the biggest bonehead I have ever heard. You don't know anything about who's in the movie and you're commenting on it? Just shut up, man. Yeah, a lot of people have written in Spanglish isn't a comedy. It's more romance comedy. People saying it's pretty good.
Kate Winslet's not in the movie.
She's not. The texters, they picked up on my fraudulence, Doran. And so they just started texting in famous actors and actresses. And I thought they were helping me fake my way through it. And it turns out they were laying a clever trap for me.
Yeah.
Because Salma Hayek, also not in Spanglish.
Are you sure?
No! I'm not sure of anything. Except I know that people are now telling me that she's not in it. Sarah Hyland from Modern Family, she was in it.
Paz Vega, she looks like Salma Hayek. She's in it.
There's someone out there that looks like Salma Hayek?
Tell me that this lady does not know. Yeah, she reminds me of her.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes, she reminds me of her, and good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be something? You're a nice lady. You grow up. Your buddy's like, hey, you know, you look like Salma Hayek. It's a pretty big compliment.
I mean, it's not bad showing me pics. It's not bad being an off-brand Salma Hayek.
Absolutely not.
No,
that's a great thing.
Yeah.
If someone called me off-brand Brad Pitt, it'd be the nicest thing anybody ever said to me in my life.
Uh-huh.
I did once get hit on at a Trader Joe's by the woman ringing me up.
Uh-huh.
And she said I looked like a young Leonardo DiCaprio.
How old was she?
She had to have been early, mid-20s.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it was like an older lady.
No, old people do that all the time.
Yep.
You look like that so-and-so.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Like a Denzel.
And I definitely did not and do not look like Leo. But boy, did I hold that with me for a good long time.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Texter writes, and I think Crowley's lying about lying. He saw it and didn't like it. Just own it. Guys, no, I promise you.
There's no way that you've seen this.
I didn't see it. I lied. And now, because of my incompetence trying to cover my tracks, here I am. I'm so incompetent that people don't know what I'm lying about, what I've seen, what I haven't seen.
I know exactly what you did. The movie came out, and you're like, I don't want to see an Adam Salem movie called Spanglish. And you probably, in your mind, just tricked your mind saying that it was bad. Because you didn't want to see it because it wasn't a comedy and it was an Adam Sandler movie about Spanglish.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yeah, it's probably a bad movie. I'm not going to watch it.
Probably going to be bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes says pretty good. One last text. Adam, you and Pony are identical narcissists. The worst two on this channel. You speak from the wrong hole. I think I deserve any and all criticism because of the Spanglish thing. And all I was trying to do was save myself.
But see, that's a movie that I would think that you have seen.
I like Sandler movies. Just never saw that one. Did see Click and cried.
Yes.
Which we've discussed before.
Yes.
One of the earliest times I can ever remember crying at a movie. My man fast-forwarded through his entire life. It's devastating.
Do you know who else he was in the movie with?
I remember the remote control.
Who was the second main character, I guess, if you will. Co-star. Come on.
Salma Hayek. Sandra Bullock.
No way.
Who was it? You don't even know.
I don't know. I'm not acting like I know. Kate Beckinsale.
I knew it was one of them.
How did you not get Kate Beckinsale?
I couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
What?
Mm-mm. So Peyton Wilson there at the top said that the Steelers' communication now, better than the communication at the end of last year. It's one thing for your defense to stink on a given game. It's another thing for your defense to stink, give up a big play, and then after the play, Minkah Fitzpatrick's looking at an inside linebacker who's looking at the slot corner, and everyone's got their hands up like, yo, who was supposed to cover that guy? That is incomprehensible. It's indefensible. It cannot happen. And it is easier to communicate now at St. Vincent College when you don't have the crowd screaming in your face and the pressures of a playoff game than it would be in a playoff game. That being said, you're also nowhere near as far along in the process. And so this would be a time where you typically would see communication issues, no? Especially when you've added new pieces to this secondary. Darius Slay's new, although he was here for the offseason activities. Jalen Ramsey's not. They're moving him all over the place. They just brought in the former Ravens Jets safety. He's new. Juan Thornhill picking up the defense for the first time. You've got
Peyton Wilson
in year number two.
As being a starter.
And you're doing a whole bunch of different stuff on defense. So it's an encouraging thing to hear from him. But it begs a couple of obvious questions. Number one, was Minkah a big part of these communication issues last year?
I think it's pointing to that.
Yeah.
I think it's pointing to that. Whether he was a part of the communication issues or him going rogue and doing things that he wasn't supposed to do and people having to cover for him and, you know, him going outside of the defensive play call. And, yeah, I mean, I would assume with the newcomers of last year, which was Patrick Queen, who usually probably, you know, identifies things and sets the defense.
Green dot, Dorn.
Green dot. I wanted to you know, dance around that. But I'm sure that Minkah Fitzpatrick was still the green dot player on defense last year. He was the general. He was getting guys lined up, telling guys where to go. So I'm sure that it all circles around, and he's in the middle.
He was supposed to be this big film study guy, and I'm not doubting that he was. But far too often, the guy who's supposed to keep the lid on the defense didn't, because they gave up a ton of big plays, 26th in the league in pass defense. And far too often, you've got a guy out there who's your field general, and he's this big film study guy, and they're just looking around not knowing who's at fault or why dudes are running open. It has to. If it's not his fault, he still needs to bear some of the culpability. But most of that falls on Tomlin and Terrell Austin. Like, how do you, and this was late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
How do you late in the season have coverage busts? Like, we'll see coverage busts. You watch college football for a full day on Saturdays. You see that all the time. In the NFL, you watch Red Zone, you watch all these games. You don't see it a lot.
Because there's not that many coverages. It's not like that complex. I mean, there's only so many coverages you can roll out there, man. Like, it's not. You know, you're not running 250 plays on offense. It's different. On defense, I mean, you're only doing a couple different things. You know, obviously, you know, if there's different blitzes or different stunts, that's different than what we're talking about communication-wise.
They're showing stuff pre-snap and then rolling the stuff post-snap.
Like, communication-wise, it's like, all right, like, we need to line up here. We need to drop here. And, you know, I gotta make sure I get this half. I got to make sure I get this quarter. I got to make sure I get this third. I got to make sure I get in the hook. I got to make sure I get in the curl. Okay, like, if you don't know what to do and you're not getting told what to do, that is a big issue because there's not many responsibilities from the back end.
And they did move on from the secondary coach. So they clearly weren't satisfied with the way things had been going. I just don't know how that can't be on the leader on the defense who is 20 yards off the ball and he's surveying the entire thing. And I don't know how it can't be on Tomlin and Austin.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a bad reflection on coaching. Like, that's what I think. When I see coverage bust, there are going to be times when players are out to lunch. I mean, that happens. But when it's a habit, when it continues to go on, that's a coaching thing. Because when guys screw up, then you got to sit them down.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't see a lot of that.
Right. I mean, if Minkah screws up, are you going to sit him down, though?
Not him. No, you're not. You're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face at that point. But nobody pointed their finger directly at him. They were all mum. It was this weird little secret last year. Everyone knows who's at fault, but no one was saying it. Very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at Austin, and I look at Tomlin. And so here's the bigger question. At 412-928-9370, Pro Football Focus says the Steelers should have the best pass defense in the NFL. You don't need analytics to think that. You just need to look at who's on the roster, their pass rush, these great corners they have. Deshaun Elliott's a good player. Do we trust Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin to get the most out of this defense? I can't.
I do.
Why?
Because a guy that's going into his second season that is now becoming a starter on the defense has already said that the communication has been better, and it hasn't. They haven't even put it on full pads yet. That's significant. That's significant. If Peyton Wilson's like, oh my gosh, like the communication has been better. Like, we know what we're doing. Guys are moving around. We're doing different things, but we know what we're doing. They haven't even put pads on yet. So obviously that they've been working on this from OTAs, mini camp, even probably throughout the summer to get to this point where they're hitting the ground running.
Yeah.
They're adding guys. They're trading guys that never even been here, never even, you know, been in Pittsburgh before, and they're just hitting the ground running. That's a great sign, in my opinion.
And Tomlin said yesterday, Ramsey's picking up different positions.
I mean,
it is a great sign. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm just looking at the body of work lately and how much they've spent on defense and the way that they've finished defensively in particular and the way they've played defensively against good teams. And I'm going to put this defense in the category of I'll believe it when I see it. They should be a top
three.
Yeah. Defense in the NFL. When I look at what they're spending and I look at the talent, I can make the argument for number one. Philly, you can have that. You won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You brought a pass rush in waves. You're pretty damn good. You can beat number one in my book.
Whenever you are, you know, regarded as a top-tier defense or even just a top-tier team or offense, defense, special teams, whatever, you always want to have an answer for everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now on paper, they have an answer. They didn't have an answer for Derrick Henry in the running game last year. We knew that. They went out and they tried to get an answer for that in Derek Harmon. You're going to have Cam Hayward obviously back. Hopefully Benton steps up. But on the back end, whenever you know in division that Cincinnati is that team that could just put 50 on you real quick, you went out and you got an answer for that. You tried on paper. I'm not saying that it's for sure. On paper, you tried to get an answer.
Definitely.
So you look around the defense. You have two fast middle linebackers. I feel like that they've tried to get an answer for everything that they could see from an offense this year.
I don't see, when you look at the starters, I don't really see a whole Juan Thornhill. Okay, but we've discussed this in the past. If your worst defensive player is a free safety and you've got a good pass rush and great corners or a great pass rush and good corners or great pass rush and great corners, that doesn't concern me all that much, especially when you just added a little bit of depth at that position. On paper, it's great defense.
Yeah.
It's been a great defense on paper before, too. Now, I will agree with you. I do think it's more complete this year than it was last year. It's probably as complete a defense as they've had in a very long time.
Very long time.
I mean, maybe going back a decade.
Of versatility, too.
Yes.
You know, the versatile nature of just like you could go through almost every single player, and they can do multiple things. And, you know, even thinking Jalen Ramsey being that number one guy, like if you don't have faith in Thornhill, take him out, put Ramsey there. Put Slay on the outside, put Joey Porter on. Like, I mean, you can do that now.
If Joey's getting grabby in a game,
put
he can't handle Slay T. Higgins, there's Slay, yep. Exactly.
And you got some depth behind it. You got some young depth behind it, too. So,
if Beanie's your third slot corner instead of being your starter, you're in a much better position.
Much better position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on paper. I know you believe in the defense. I believe in the talent. I don't know that Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin can get the best out of this group. What say you at 412-928-9370? Let's take some calls. Ray Fittipaldo is going to join us at 8 o'clock. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Texter, reacting to the pre-show way back when, about 2 hours ago. Doran all over the newspapers in high school while Crowley can't fold a newspaper. Sets the backdrop of this show perfectly. Vaughn from Philly. Also, Dom crushed it yesterday. Yeah, we love intern Dom.
Mm-hmm.
Intern Dom's very good at what he does.
Yes.
Yeah, you were big-time high school football player, and you were breaking records and scoring touchdowns, and you're all up in the paper, and I was reading the sports section and unable to fold it properly. That is true.
Yeah, didn't even think about that.
Me neither. But, were you a good paper airplane guy?
No. No. Absolutely not. Couldn't fold a paper airplane. I still can't. No. I watch people do it, though. Oh, that's cool. Look at that. Aerodynamic.
Yeah, I used to fancy myself a paper airplane aficionado. And then my daughter made one the other day that was better than mine, and she's 6, and I retire.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Peyton Wilson says that the Steelers' communication issues of last year, they're a thing of the past. They're communicating as good as they've communicated in a long time in their, what, 4.5 practices now into training camp, because yesterday's practice number one in pads didn't happen because of Mother Nature. We'll make fun of that a little bit coming up at the bottom of the hour. The question is, the Steelers on paper, they're loaded defensively. Do we trust Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin to get the most out of this unit? Doran feeling good about it. Me, not so much. Steelers have been outscored 63-0 in the first quarter of their last five playoff games. Now, this defense is better on paper than that defense was. Those defenses were. I'm not going to give Tomlin benefit of the doubt. What say you at 412-928-9370? To the phones? To the phones. Mike in Fort Wayne, first up today. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Crowley, man, I'm with you. Tomlin changed the defense when LeBeau left. It's interesting because when we lost Ryan Shazier, the conversation has been, how are we going to replace Shazier? Well, that was about the same time we lost LeBeau, too. That's what people seem to forget. And Tomlin tweaked that defense. We bring five a lot, and they're all rushing the passer, which feeds the inside linebacker position to the Wolves. And now all of a sudden, that guy can't decide, do I step up to try and stop the run because everybody in front of me is rushing the passer, or do I step back and stop the slant? And then you got like a guy like Minka that has to watch Queen because he's being fed to the Wolves. It's not worked since LeBeau left.
And thank you for the call,
the pudding,
Mike.
You know?
I appreciate that. I don't disagree with the overall point. I will say, we all know that this is Mike Tomlin's defense. There have been differences, though, depending on the coordinator. Keith Butler, when he was the DC, they blitzed a lot.
Oh, look how Minka played underneath him.
And he played totally different.
Right.
Brian Flores was here a couple of years ago. Brian Flores goes up to Minnesota. They blitz more than any team in football. They blitzed a lot 2 years ago. They didn't blitz as much last year. They were in cover one, cover three a bunch. And you wonder if it's one of those necessity is the mother of invention things. Like, did they blitz less because of the communication issues? Did they play simple coverages because of the communication issues? That might have been the case.
Or personnel. Like, think about it. Would you trust Dante Jackson and Joey Porter Jr. in a second year to cover?
Me?
Right.
No.
Right. So,
Beanie Bishop?
And Beanie Bishop? And Cam Sutton?
Cam Sutton was the worst of the bunch.
I mean, you can't blitz. It's like impossible. Mm-hmm. You blitz, you're going to get tore up.
Yep.
Now, a little bit different.
And they're moving Watt around. I mean, we get reports early. Watt on the over the left tackle.
You can only do what your personnel can give you.
Sure.
So last year, you look at the personnel, and it's like, okay, like, this is what we can do. This is what we feel comfortable doing. We never want to get bit in the butt or put ourselves in a situation where we're going to expose ourselves. And I think that they played, and Mike Tomlin does play football or coaches football like this conservatively, usually. That's his kind of makeup. But I feel like they played ultra conservatively because the personnel that they had only could dictate so much. It could only do so much. Till the fact where if you put him in a next level position of blitzing and doing different things, you'd have got an even more exposed than you already did at times.
And they got hurt too down the stretch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discount that. Watt, clearly not the same guy since he got banged up. And Dante Jackson, for all his struggles, you still needed him out there. And he had the back issues at the end of last season. So they are worlds better from a talent standpoint than where they were last year. And I'll take the talent level of a Derek Harmon over what Larry Ogunjobi had become with the Steelers any day, too.
And I don't even remember him making a play.
Dude.
Like, no, I don't remember him making one significant play.
I liken him to Nick Spaulding of the Penguins. They got him. I don't remember a single thing he did in a Penguin sweater. Larry Ogunjobi, man, was as invisible gets. Like, that dude, he'd show up on the stat sheet once every four games, make a play.
I don't remember it. You'd look at the stat sheet and be like, oh, he had a tackle.
Probably fell on a guy. Right. Cam Hayward was holding up or something.
Yeah.
So, again, I believe in the talent level, and I believe conceptually in what we think they're trying to do. We think they're going to blitz more. We think they're going to play a hell of a lot of man coverage. I love that. And I think Patrick Queen should be better in year two. I think Peyton Wilson should be better in his second year in the league. There's a lot of reasons for optimism, but I can't get 63-0 out of my head.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
I bet you, dude, I bet you they start out like gangbusters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Defense always ahead of offense. We've talked about that a bunch. and they're not playing a murderer's row of offenses early either. I bet you they look great defensively. How do you finish, though? And the schedule gets harder in the second half of the year.
We'll see. Thinking about the Levi Wallaces that, you know, these are guys that were starting. I mean, Miles Jack, you know, Joe Schobert. Like, these are the guys that were your starters on defense for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can only do so much.
I mean, there's no excuse.
Right, there's no excuse.
We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Like, you better be a top three defense in the league. And I'm talking, you better shut down the run. You better be among the league leaders in sacks. You better be among the league leaders in turnovers forced. All across the board. You're spending $20-plus million more than the next closest team. And I don't necessarily hate that strategy. I really don't whenever you're not paying a quarterback. But you got to get the most out of it. And the most out of this roster, the most out of what's on paper, would be the best defense in the league. Maybe the best defense they've had since 2010. On paper.
Mm-hmm.
On paper. Now, LeBeau's been gone for a while, and they have had good defenses, at least in the regular season since LeBeau's gone. So I understand the overall point made by the caller.
When did LeBeau leave, what, 13?
14, I want to say. But
because he was in Tennessee, I think, in 14 when I was there.
You have Dom Capers, too?
Where?
Tennessee.
No, Ray Horton.
That was it.
Yep.
That was it. Yeah, last year was 2014.
14?
Yeah. For Dick LeBeau.
Gotcha.
Here's another question. If Tomlin's such a defensive genius, I asked that way too snarkily. If Tomlin is this defensive genius, why do you got to go above and beyond and spend all this money on offense?
On defense,
yes. I mean, you've got the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's this wizard, and he's like, give me Brock Purdy. I went with Brock Purdy.
I think we lose the concept of the highest paid defense because TJ Watt takes a chunk of it. And it's not like dispersed.
He's the quarterback. When you think about the salary structure.
Right.
Like if you had a high paid offense, most of the teams that do, you'd say, okay, their quarterback, he's making 50.
Right.
Yeah.
So TJ Watt takes a big chunk of highest paid defense. It's not like everybody, you know, like eight players are making the same amount and that makes them the highest paid defense. There's like four. Three.
Top heavy.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit coming up next. You can continue to ring us on why you hate Mike Tomlin, because that's generally the way those calls go. And Tara Lawson at 412-928-9370. George Pickens spoke yesterday with our brother station in Dallas. Wait until you hear what he had to say about the Cowboys culture compared to that of the Steelers.
It's definitely because I watched the team for so long. And the camaraderie.
Does this seem like a place you would want to make a permanent home, George?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. Because I watched the team for so long. And the camaraderie, like, I kind of understand the camaraderie more than I did in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, even what you guys do. Like, the Cowboys, is like I said, they're known for the Super Bowl.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like, that's what they're known for. If they weren't known for that, then no one would care about the Cowboys. Right. But they're known for that. Then the camaraderie of the people give that same energy. Because they also want to see it again. Yeah. So, like, I think I definitely understand it more here, the people more here than I did up there. Because I'm from the South. That's, you know, that's a whole nother deal.
Well, that part I do understand. That's George Pickens talking to G-Bag Nation, which is a afternoon show in Dallas on our brother station. That's where Jerry Jones goes on and gets grilled and then threatens the host that he's going to fire them, that station. I understand the whole, hey, Southern people versus Northern people, and one place is going to feel like home, another's not. Like, I can empathize with that. We've all been places where people could be nice. It's just, it's a different kind of culture thing. I get that. The Dallas being known for Super Bowls thing is laughable to me.
Yes.
Hey, the Steelers and the Cowboys, I think they're fairly comparable in that they're discussed an awful lot. For franchises that haven't won the big one in a long time. But Dallas hasn't played in a championship game since 1995, since they went to the Super Bowl and beat Neil O'Donnell and the Steelers. So get the hell out of here with that.
30 years ago.
Yes. We talked about
30 years.
The pre-show. I don't remember it. I don't remember that. I remember my mom being pissed that Neil O'Donnell's throwing picks. That's what I don't remember the picks. I remember my family's reaction. That's how long ago that was. But hey, perception is perception. It's the culture thing, though, the camaraderie that he's talking about. And you can take this where you want to go, obviously, but Najee Harris left. He goes to Los Angeles, and he talks about how there was a lack of leadership in Pittsburgh. George Pickens goes to Dallas, and he's talking about camaraderie that basically didn't exist in Pittsburgh. Guys, again, to reference this meme, it's the dude in the hot dog suit saying, oh, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Hey, Najee, there's no leadership. Be a leader. You're a first-round running back. You went to Alabama. Like George Pickens, like, you are the team's leading receiver. Yeah, you'd like for there to be more leaders, but pick up your end of that. Be a good teammate. Help foster some camaraderie. Like, by all accounts, and Caboli talked to us about this on Monday, Pickens wasn't chummy with his teammates. Like, he was sort of his own kind of dude, and he juxtaposed that with DK Metcalf, who wants to be involved in everything and is really trying to get to know guys and is sharing a bathroom with Aaron Rodgers. Like, these guys still haven't looked in the mirror, and I don't think they're wrong. Like, you needed more leadership than was here, but they also needed to be part of that leadership council, if you will.
Absolutely, but whenever I think about the culture statement, there's nothing more eye-opening whenever you do get a chance to go see what it's like somewhere else, and then you compare. And I think it may be a little bit deeper than than being on the field and in the locker room whenever guys are talking about culture, talking about camaraderie, things of that nature. And what I take from what Najee said, what I take from what George has said, now they're with their new teams, it starts from the top. And I think that the culture starts from the top. And whenever you walk into the Steelers locker room, you look next door, and then they're sharing a you don't picture the Pittsburgh Steelers sharing a facility with a college team. You don't picture this Pittsburgh Steelers, going to training camp and sharing dorm rooms with a teammate and not being able to practice in a bubble and having to go into a gym. Like, whenever you go to the Dallas Cowboys, your locker is probably, like, from the future.
Yeah.
That matters to guys. You know, that's different. That's a culture setter. Like, oh, we're going to do everything we possibly can to give you the most you possibly can to be the best you possibly can. And we're going to take care of you. And that's a part of the culture. It means something. If you're a Cowboy, that means that you're our family. And we're going to get the best of the best. I don't know if the young players feel that whenever, like, you see that. You think that the Steelers are like that whenever you're in college. And then you get drafted by the Steelers. And you walk in, you're like, oh. And then you have a chance to go somewhere else. And you're like, oh. Oh, this is a little bit different.
Yeah, Pickens went to Georgia and Najee Harris went to Alabama. The facilities at both of those fine institutions, Southeastern Conference institutions, blow the Steelers facility so far out of the water, it ain't even funny. Now, a lot of those college facilities are better than pro facilities. Not in the case of going to the Chargers. Not in the case of going to Dallas. If those guys are talking about that, then yeah, sure.
That screams culture to me.
Because that's a commitment from the top on down. Obviously. We'll give every dollar we can spend to help you. Because yes. Everyone's got the same cap.
Right.
But we'll go above and beyond elsewhere. I don't disagree with that. I mean, shoot, dude, you brought it up. You have thousands of fans there yesterday. We're all jacked up. Pads. Here we go. First day in pads. I think I saw Bob Labriola on video wearing pads with Missy Matthews yep. wearing pads. Everyone's excited about pads. And all these fans are out there. And you can't practice.
Right.
You go to a basketball gym?
Yeah.
Do I got that right? You got 90 guys plus all the coaches yeah. and trainers and everybody in the media trying to get into that gym? That's a wasted day. And I know that they're building a facility. It's supposed to be finished in November. Like, how did that happen? How can you not be ready for camp?
That screams culture to me.
I get that.
Say that. It's like, oh, this culture is different. Like, this culture is like that. This culture is, you know, this is what I thought this culture was like. This is what I know the culture to be. And now I'm somewhere else. And it's like, oh, this is a different culture. And especially a historical and tradition, you know, based program like in franchise like the Dallas Cowboys. You're like, okay, that's what I expected the Steelers to be like. When I hear the Steelers and I hear the Cowboys, those are the two top teams in the NFL. They're America's team, you know, mm-hmm. either or. You think that whenever you get to the Steelers, it was in your mind going to be like the Cowboys. And then you go to the Cowboys and you're like, oh, okay, like this is what it was supposed
to be. It seems first rate.
Right.
Whereas the Steelers seems mom and pop.
Yeah, third world, yeah.
Yeah, and there's romance.
People probably don't even want to hear this right now and don't care. They're like, whatever, just go play football. But it matters to guys. It does.
Well, and I think it should matter to fans.
And fans, too. Yeah.
I do think it should because, again, You have radar, first of all, so you don't even need a better facility yesterday to just move the practice up 2 hours and still get your padded practice in. I mean, guys need reps. Mike Tomlin can't, out of one side of his mouth, say Roman Wilson can't play this year because he missed training camp, and then say, well, it's not a big deal to miss a practice. No, it's a massive deal. You only get so many. So he could have moved it up. Didn't. Any other team in the NFL, they're just taking that thing into their IPF. Like,
but think about if training camp was held here in Pittsburgh. So say like next week it was held here in Pittsburgh. It's like, oh, well, it's going to rain. We got to go inside. Oh, we got to wait till Pitt's done.
Right.
Can't just move the practice inside.
And they did.
You have to wait till the college team is done so we can use the facility.
Wait, we got to wait. Desmond Reed's running off the field.
Right.
Give it a couple of minutes. Dews says 15 more minutes, folks.
That's what that, I mean, you don't think of the Steelers having to deal with something like that, but then
it is totally relevant because every team, again, can spend to the salary cap. We've talked about the coaching staff size. It's not big enough. You're not keeping up with the Joneses there. And we've talked about the facility stuff. Every year the NFLPA survey comes out and ownership of the Steelers gets absolutely crushed. You may not, because you get the text, oh, millionaires.
Right.
You want your favorite football team to win. You should be going above and beyond to provide your football team with every ability to find an advantage wherever you can. There's no cap on how much you can spend on facilities. That comes down to how much money you're willing to spend on facilities. And folks, it ain't good here. So when Pickens talks about that, I am with you. As far as the leadership thing, like, come on, man, be a leader then. You want to be a good teammate? Go be a good teammate. Like, good teammates get other teammates to gravitate to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in radio. Like, I don't want to work with intern Dom. He is firing shots left and right, but I'll work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Good teammate. Gravitate. Yeah. I don't know why I took a shot at Dom there.
Right.
All right.
He took a shot at me randomly yesterday.
Well, that happens every day, and I thought about doing it there, but I didn't. Growth. That is growth. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk about this. I think there's more meat on the bone here. You can weigh in at 412-928-9370. Ray Fittipaldo at 8 o'clock. Also, why did I get a text from Mark Abali in the middle of the night? 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Mark Abali last night drinking beers at Sharky's in Latrobe. I think Donnie Football actually will be at Sharky's tonight. For a training camp broadcast. It's not on my sheet here, but I think I have that correct. If you get there and Donnie's not there, you'll still have a good time. It's a great place to go.
Yeah.
Great food, great people. Well, Kaboli, last night, middle of the night, he texts me a picture of the cigarette machine at Sharky's because I used to just pour cash into that sucker, get soft packs of cigarettes, and kids, don't smoke. It's just terrible for you. Well, Kaboli just sent me a text. Every single Steelers beat writer taking a selfie together at Sharky's. And then also Michael Silver from The Athletic is there. And they all just look bombed out of their minds. They just look bombed out of their minds.
God.
They're all going to be there sweating bullets. You know who's not pictured, actually? Ray Fittipaldo. And so he's going to join us in 8 minutes, and he's going to be clear-minded. He's going to be ready to go. That's how you get a leg up on your competition. All the Steelers writers at Sharky's after midnight, and Ray Fittipaldo not to be found there.
Whose idea do you think that was?
To take the selfie?
Yeah.
Or
to... Who's holding the phone? Who was that in the middle holding the phone?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here with the names.
This is getting out of hand. Media wanted it to be their show.
The media?
Yeah, media wants it to be their show.
Trying to make it all about them.
Training camp's about them. I hear more about what the media's doing than what the Steelers are doing.
Wow.
I do.
We got nothing from yesterday.
I hear more about what the media is doing, bitching, complaining about all kinds of crap, going to Sharky's, great place, but going to Sharky's, drinking Icy Light and mangoes, talking about what positions and other players should play, being, you know, zero techniques and things of that. I hear more about what the media is doing than the damn Steelers. It's all about them now. It's like the referees and officials in sports making the sport and games about them. Get the hell out of here.
Wouldn't you love to go to Sharky's just one day, like tonight with Donnie's out there having ice cold beer?
If I didn't have to work the next day.
Oh, yeah. You're coaching football tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a real professional. Yeah. You go, you battle your ass off, you're coaching high school football in the evening time, you're going to bed early, you're waking up, we're doing an award-winning radio show.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, oh, God, it's so hot.
It's hot.
It's never been hotter while I stand here and take notes.
I can't believe the Steelers have to practice in the gym. I can't believe we have to go pack ourselves in the gym while the Steelers practice.
Humidity level in this gym just off the charts.
Oh, man, the lunch today was terrible. No, we used to actually get to stay here. The beds were awful. Like, what?
Now they'll complain that they can't stay
now
there.
They yes. Exactly.
It used to be, can you believe we got to be in the dorms?
Yeah, we got to be in the dorms.
Now we can't. Can you believe we got to find our way? We got to pay our way. We got to find hotels around Latrobe. Oh, my God. It sucks so bad.
Got to wake up early.
You know, the people who aren't in the photo, I think it's important as we're calling out all the beat writers. And, hey, have a good time, whatever. But Brian Batko, not pictured. Our guy Chris Carter's there, though.
Yeah, he is.
He better get some slumber before we talk to him at 8 a.m. on Friday.
It's all about the media.
All about the media. And then Caboli, he likes to, you know, rip other media members. And now he's hanging out with all of them.
Right, of course. Hypocrite.
Classic Caboli. All right, coming up next, one of the media members who got a good night's sleep last night, who's been covering every single Steelers practice in Latrobe, Ray Fittipaldo, is going to join us when we come back. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, if you are going to training camp, high of 92, low of 73, looks to be clear. Got to stay ahead of that Doppler.